process takes it, and as previously announced, we will start with voting about the best posters. For those who are for the first time here, usually this is sort of asking people one after the other in the order of sitting. Maybe we can start this time on the left-hand side, if you are prepared. Are you all prepared for voting? Yeah, okay. So who is the first one? Sorry. Oh, it's Sangha. Yeah, okay. So please, Sangha, start with your votes. First, second, third.
First, number one. Second, number four. Third, number nine.
Okay. It's your turn.
First, number nine. Second, third.
Toby?
Seven. Seven. 7-1-4.
Okay. 15-14-12.
I would like to excuse. I had a very long and heated debate with Sasha Joffe for on background and related issues, which I think was important as well. So please excuse me.
First number 9, second number 13, and the third number 3.
First number 7, second number 14, third number 9.
As Irj already mentioned, we have been busy, but before this I had a chance to look a bit. I can only name 2. Okay. It's okay, yeah? So we put the number 1, 15, and number 2, 12.
Richard?
Number 4, number 2, and number 6.
7, 14, 4.
Number 9, number 8, number 6.
Number 9, number 4, number 15.
First number 6, second number 1, and third number 11.
Yeah, we almost finished.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, then I think we have to wait a couple of minutes.
A couple of minutes, yes.
Until you sum up.
Okay, I think we're almost ready to announce. So, according to the voting, the first place goes to the poster number 4. Neutron activation analysis is a tool for tracing the accumulation of silver nanoparticles in tissues of female mice and their offspring, presented by Inga Zinkovskaya. So, let's congratulate the winner. And, of course, we would also mention two other high-quality posters, as usual. So the second place goes to poster number 9, which title is Research and Synthesis of Magnetic Nanoparticles of the Core Shell Type, which is presented by Dr. Nazarova. He's here. Good. So, and the third place goes to the poster number 6, investigation of internal structure and atomic dynamics of pharmaceutical compounds under the influence of high pressure, presented by Nadezhda Belozerova. That's actually it.
Thank you so much. And now the next item will be awarding the last awardee. And unfortunately, he's not here, but his representative is here, so probably we nevertheless should go there, at least for the photographers.
Okay, as you probably remember, we decided to select only one poster presentation. It's best poster presentation of the previous meeting. And I would remind that the honorary diploma in the first place was awarded to Maxim Karpets for the best poster presentation, which is entitled Investigations of Polyethylene Fullerene Nanocomposite Thin Films by Neutron and X-ray Reflectometry. So I would ask the representative of this author to receive this honorary diploma as well. And to transfer our greetings as well to the author.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
And now we may proceed with the general discussion. As you remember,
on behalf of Directorate, I would like to express my my impression about the poster session and the decision of the committee. I appreciate it very much because we are criticized frequently for the gender unbalance, and now now three young ladies have won the first top places, and it's a very pleasant event. We will reflect it in our how to say the site and altogether stressing this event. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me add that I'm absolutely convinced that our voting was not influenced by the presenters. But scientific excellence, of course. And also, let me mention that, as you remember, last time we very strongly criticized the average level of the posters. That's why we selected last time only one. And right now we had really 15 excellent posters, I must say. So that's why probably the distribution of the votes was also quite broad, because it was not easy to select from so many good posters. Okay, anyway, so I think now we may proceed with the general discussion. And as you remember, yesterday we had to postpone the discussion after the inelastic scattering talks, and now both presenters are lucky enough here. So I would like to invite you first to address this issue and afterwards others. So please comment on, first of all, on right now the inelastic scattering presentations. Pavel.
Thank you very much. I have to say, I was impressed by presentation of Professor Zayat about the inelastic scattering, because it's very clear show the advantage of neutrons with respect to even atomic dynamics, because he did not discuss the magnetic dynamics, which is quite specific advantage of neutron scattering in general. Nevertheless, he gave a very nice talk. And coming to the second part of Dr. Kudoba, I should say that there are two points which I consider as important. I believe that curved neutron guide would be more useful for inverse geometry spectrometer, which is considered as one of the two spectrometers, because it provided quite good conditions, much better conditions from the point of view of signal to background ratio, and remove the fast neutrons and gamma rays and so on. So perhaps this would be better, and the question is what will be the cut-off of the energy from the high energy side. If it could be something like 200-300 of MeV, it would be fine. To do this, I suggest that the sample size, which is two versions, 3/3 and 1/1 centimeter. So I think the size, the last option, 1/1 centimeter, is good enough from the point of view of contemporary physics. It's reasonable size of reasonable sample. And this will allow to use the curved neutron guide. So this is my point.
Thank you very much, Pavel. Dorota, please.
I show you yesterday that we are thinking about 318 eV. So this is what we think it will be. And about sample size, how you know, we make now simulations. And of course, all questions or answer of the questions we will be able to answer after the ending these simulations. So it will be in the end of February. And the final decision about to make this two noses or just one nose or one sample size, it will be in March. But for us it's so from the beginning we started simulations for the sample 3/3 centimeters. Of course 1/1 it's more it's better maybe, but final answer I will give in March.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Further questions and comments? Toby, please.
So with regards to the sample size, I mean, it is a tricky question, but I mean, certainly thinking ahead to the direct geometry machine, I would suggest that actually 3/3 is something that is seriously worth considering. Having done some experiments recently on IM5 and the equivalent machine at ISIS, which required samples to fit inside, I think, a 15mm by 25mm volume. That was actually rather hard to achieve when doing cryomagnetic experiments. The sheer bulk of what you need to get in, some of the crystals are larger than that. Where you're pushing things, you do want to have the option of a little bit more space. But I would suggest that you have optimization for a couple of scenarios, and at that point, then we can make a decision. But I would certainly make sure that you get as much input from as broad a selection of potential users as possible before making such a decision. The other point that I'd like to raise is that I think that there's a need to be realistic about what you're going to be able to achieve at high energy transfer. So correct me if I'm wrong, Richard and Shane, but the Vespa machine at ESS, for example, which is on a long guide, I guess it's 160 metres, it's one of the canonical lengths, it's got a sort of a pretty, I wouldn't say catastrophic drop in flux, but a count rate, but a sort of a dramatic decrease around about 120 millielectron volts energy transfer. And this is simply because you're doing guide transport over such a huge distance. I think it's important to actually present realistic calculations of what you're going to get in terms of flux, including the profile from the moderator as well, because You would expect there to be a large fall off on the flux. If I understand it, those calculations have not been done. So, because if you advertise that it's going to be doing a great job at 300 millivolts transfer, is it really? I'm very sceptical. So it would be very good to see realistic calculations.
Thanks. Jerzy.
Well, for the sample size, one has, as already to be said, I mean, one has to be aware of the possible widths or breadths of the scientific case. Because, for instance, for organic hydrogen-containing materials, you may wish to have tiny sample thickness spread over larger surface in order to avoid multiple scattering by hydrogen and weakening the signal by that. So this is just one of the factors. And I would underline what Toby said, one would need quantitative input on the spectrum in the range between the Gaussian and the slowing part of the spectrum, which needs experimental data to be really able to calculate how much flux there will be in this range, and also to quantify the background against which this will be measured. I mean, this is crucial.
Do you wish to reflect to these last points? Yes, Wojtek.
As far as I know, the precise simulations with MaxTAS are now underway. And slight modifications to these figures that have been given by Dorota are still possible as soon as their simulations are completed and realistic neutron flux is being used for that. So I think we still have to wait some month or two before finally those calculations, those simulations are available. But I absolutely agree that with the indirect instrument that will be the case, that we not only the drop in intensity but also the drop in resolution will be significant at high energy transfers. And that's why we are aiming at science that's for which the lower, so to say, half of the normally available energy transfer is significant, and that was what I tried to present yesterday, and these were all subjects where significant the significant features, all of them sit in particular in low energy transfer region.
I would say that it's important to, as always, benchmark this, whatever calculations you get, use as much real experimental data as you can. I mean, the flux profile can be measured. Yeah, you don't need to compute it. And then you have to use that as input into the transport. The other thing is to really know where will you stand compared to the current state of the art and existing machines. So you take Tosca at ISIS, Vision at SNS, and whatever at other facilities. I mean, you want to know where you stand.
Any further points concerning inelastic scattering? This does not seem to be a case. So I think, okay. We may proceed with other issues, general discussion concerning everything what has been mentioned in the presentations and discussions and so on and so forth. Sorry, do you see someone? Yeah, Toby, please.
It's a general point about the presentations of IBR 2. I felt that I didn't gain an insight into sort of the developments of what are going on. What instrument upgrades are in train at the moment? How far have they got through what was put in the 5-year plan? It's good having an update, as we did, of the very nice science, but 25 minutes about the very nice science and nothing about what's happening to instrument upgrades except for the specific case on the inelastic instrumentation leaves me feeling that in a bit of a vacuum, and that's not sort of a personal frustration about not knowing what's going on. It's the fact that there isn't an opportunity. We aren't being invited to contribute our thoughts on any matters which are of concern or of interest or where input would be desired. And so I think it would be much nicer to have a sort of facility update. Where are we? What are we doing? How are our instrument upgrades proceeding? All of those sorts of things. So, for example, it was very nice to have the detailed statistics about the usage of the instruments, but then we had no idea how any of that was being used to set any strategic direction, for example, which instruments are being reviewed. There should be a sort of a continuous process of that, regardless of the fact that there might be a 5 or 7 year plan. These things don't operate on such a basis. It's a continuous process, upgrading the instruments, if for no other reason that you don't have every engineer having a burst of activity for the first 2 years and then nothing else happens for the next 5. So I think it would be very good to have such an update. I also felt that it would be good to have something of an update from other projects which come under our remit. So, for instance, the IT lab, theoretical physics and so on. How are they proceeding along as the projects proposed? I can't remember how long these projects are, 3 years, 5 years, or whatever, but if we get to see what's going on 6 months before they come to an end, there's no input that we can offer.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Toby, for these critical remarks, which was mentioned yesterday during our party. I completely agree with the necessity of continuous upgrade of the instruments and information about this continuous upgrade. We are really doing that. Every 5 years, we are preparing independently on our 7 year plans or something like that. We are doing every 5 years our vision of upgrade of the instruments at IBR2. And the final upgrade is finished by year 2020. This year, which comes. That means that, again, independent of the new source, independently on 7 years plans, this year we are starting the preparation of the upgrade of this vision of the instruments, and we will take into account all the requirements, all the remarks which you put in. And I think I would like to propose to the program advisory committee to put into the next meeting agenda to put the line with a report of Frank Laboratory with a vision for instrument upgrade in next 5 years, for example. I'm ready, and we are ready to prepare such a document and to inform PEC members about our intentions.
Thank you very much, Valerie. This is really a very important point, and I think we have to realize that actually we have an internal problem within PAC. It's no problem with the directorate. It's our own problem, and that's why we criticized a year ago Denis' presentation, what we have somehow modified yesterday. If you have a glance, by the way, at the draft resolution, there is a section. Number 4, general recommendation on reporting new instrumentation developments. Within PAC, we have quite strict rules how to assess projects seems. We have never had a clear assessment system, internal assessment system of our PAC for instruments. And that's probably our problem. So probably we also have to codify in a way how we will proceed. And I think in contrast to projects and themes, usually 2 or 3 years, the ideal period for instruments is something like 5 years, and I very much welcome the FLMP directorate's routine, obviously, that they are doing this and they are wishing to continue this tradition to assess, to evaluate and assess all instruments with a something like 5 year period. So probably we have to put down it also more strictly, not necessarily right now, but as an item for the next PAC meeting, definitely.
That's right. I mean, I think there are two things here, that there's it's assessment and of projects and saying yes or no to projects. I mean, I think that's a sort of a formal process of how things are done at JINR, but it's the general notion of regular facility update and being invited to comment on that and provide expertise. I mean, I know personally around the table, you know, at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people who have serious neutron expertise of decades standing, and this is a wonderful place to feed that in. So I feel that that opportunity is just not arriving because we're not being presented with an update of the activities of IBR2. So it's a different thing altogether. It's an advisory as opposed to the formal approval or not of specific activities.
Thank you.
If I understood you correctly, you prefer not to see some kind of snapshot of the activity, but some dynamic development and on the timeline with the goals and other things, yes?
Yeah, yes, that's right. So there's the 5-year plan, so it's every some period. I don't know that it's every PAC or maybe it's every other PAC, but we have a facility update. How are we getting along with all of the things that are activities? How are our instrument upgrades going along? What problems have we met? Which ones have we not? How is that dynamically changing according to things that are discovered, like trends in science and so on? So for example, you say that there's been a 5-year instrument upgrade program which has just come to an end, and now you're starting work on the next one. Well, actually, it should be a sort of like a continuous process. That's the sort of thing which it would be nice to actually get out of such a facility update.
Okay. And second point I would like to, if I understood correctly, it's the existed some request for the overview of the activities of the whole institute, not only of this lab, but what happens in other laboratories. We have 7 of them. In theory, in particle physics, radio, and others, yes?
Just not about particle physics. I mean, what's within the remit of this PAC? So solid-state physics, the theory, the IT lab, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but I don't know what's happened in the IT lab. Can we comment? It's a dynamic process. If we wait until the end of a project before we then give our input, well, it's possibly even too late then, because by then the next project plan has already been put together. So it's really this sort of updates of the major activities which come within our remit as a regular course.
Okay. Shane.
Building on what Toby says, I do think it's interesting as coming here as an advisor, to take the opportunity to make some suggestions in relation to the user program, and not just for IBR2, but also looking for the future, because I think you're looking to align now to community expectation for a much, much higher impact. I was particularly interested to see the presentation yesterday on the user program, on the data from the user program. I think that was really valuable for me. And I wonder if it would be possible for that information to go out to the committee beforehand next time, so that the people have a chance to look at that and collect our thoughts, because there's all sorts of inferences you can take from this that you can use to help in your planning. And I think the committee probably could make some good suggestions if that information came earlier.
Yeah, thanks. Well, actually, an abstract was available, but I agree with you that it was not enough information. The abstract was available on Indico, but okay, but it contained not enough details, of course. That's clear. Further comments? Yeah, no. So, shall we conclude the general discussion? Yeah, many thanks, colleagues. That was our general discussion, and right now we may continue with the closed session, so we will thank our guests having been present, and please
leave the room.
Well, either you or we.